So I just felt just in line with the word that came this evening, this morning. Sorry, I'm an evening service guy, but the word that came this morning was just that new covenant, to remember that we are part of a new covenant. God has given us a new heart, and that's the awesome privilege that we have. I heard Mervis shared with you guys recently just about being intimate with the Lord. I mean, God's given us a new heart, ultimately to be intimate with us and to awaken us to who He is, to His glory. You know, we've been singing, I want to see you. Man, we can't see Him without that new heart. And I want to see Him, and I've got to allow that new heart to beat for Him. The word I actually felt for you guys this morning was that thing of love, loving one another. And I know Mervis shared on loving Him, talk about God, but the outflowing of that love, I felt just to share and bring to you guys that love towards one another. And how many here know the commandments that Jesus gave in the New Testament? How many do you think? I was trying to Google it and trying to see how many do you think commands overall through the whole scripture of New Testament that Jesus gave? Three? Nah. More than 50 that I've Googled. I don't know how accurate. Actually, more. There's about 50. I'll give you some scriptures. Here's one that Jesus gave in Matthew 4:17. Repent. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Matthew 4:19. Follow me. Rejoice. That's a command. Let your light shine. Honor the God's law. Be reconciled. Do not commit adultery. There's quite a few here, hey? Just as I've been reading those, love your enemies, be holy. It's actually the commands that Jesus gave are way higher than just the commands that we read in the Old Testament. But you know, as I was reading it, unlike the Old Testament laws that were given to us, because the Bible talks about, you know, none of us were able to keep any of those laws. And they were there actually to help us actually realize that none of us could meet those expectations. None of us could actually be in a place where we can be like God. And the law, all it did was remind us that we actually need a Savior, that we need someone to come and rescue us from ourselves. That's what that law did. But you know, when Jesus gave a law, when He gave a command to us, wasn't that we were going to fail. The reason He gave that command was He knew that the command that He would give us, that we would succeed. And He knew that with that command that He gave, He was going to give us authority to live in that command. Imagine if Jesus gave us a command and it's just a whole lot more of do's that we can't commit to, a whole lot of things that we'll never obtain. That would be more condemning, wouldn't it? But you know, when Jesus gave the commands, man, it was, I'm going to empower you to do it. And so we read that in Scripture in Romans 3:20. John 14, verses 15. He says this, if you love me, keep my commands. And then in verse 16, he says, and I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He might abide with you forever. Now, that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, I'm going to give you these new commands, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that you're going to fulfill them. So it's not just wishful thinking. Actually, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new heart, but I'm also giving you my Holy Spirit, and you're going to fulfill what I'm commanding you to do. And so that's great. Okay, I want to say that. It's good news for us because we don't have to depend on ourselves. I mean, come on. Even the commands Jesus gave, man, if you realize, I can't do this. It's impossible. Unless we don't understand something of the new covenant that He's put in our hearts. He's given us something that we can. And with that comes the authority. And so I just want to remind you as a church, you've been given authority. You've been given authority to live in this. Now, we all understand authority to a degree. We understand often authority when it concerning things out there. So a good illustration would be Matthew 28. Hey, we all know that scripture from 19 to 20 when Jesus gives authority to His disciples. He said, all authority has been given me, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. Remember that scripture? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that is an external authority that Jesus gave us out there. Okay, now I just want to elaborate this because we often focus on that command that Jesus gave, because that is the so-called the great command to go make disciples. And we often look at that and we can see. So even in that, Jesus has given us authority. What has he given us authority in? Let's be interactive. He's given us authority over demons. Huh? He's given us authority to heal the sick. He's given us authority even to raise the dead, to go and make disciples. That's an authority that he's given us. Now, all of those things in themselves are great in going to make disciples. The authority Christ has given us. But you know, there's something that Jesus has also given us, and that's authority within ourselves, not just outside of ourselves, to go. And the reason I'm going to elaborate that, because the heart, unfortunately, is the problem thing to bring that thing into authority of Jesus. And we can easily preach authority out there, but God also wants us to have his authority here and here. And it's one thing to go and make disciples and expressing that external authority. It's another thing to be a disciple and allow the authority of God in your life. To be a disciple is hard. It's not easy. And often guys that come into the church, you know, they're very for mission. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm all for mission. We've been having great times in ministry, just even into the universities in George. And starting to see life there. And it's like, oh, God, there's something in going. Eh? But it's sometimes those people are very much on the out in the going. But actually, the thing of submitting is just sometimes harder. I don't know if you guys find that. Being in the life of the church, it's a constant struggle, isn't it? But Jesus has given you authority in that area too, of being a disciple. And so I really want to just share this because there's a new command that Jesus gives us with authority. And this is the command I want to share. In John 13:34, he says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In fact, that's the title of my message, is The Authority to Love. This new command, and it comes with the new covenant. And Jesus has given us authority and ability to carry out this command to love one another. And it's actually, I love the way Jesus puts it, because he says, "By this all will know that you are mine." So if you're not living in it, if you're not living in loving one another, you're actually an expression that you're not his. It's quite hectic, huh? In fact, Jesus says, if you say you love me and you hate your brother, you're a liar. So this thing of giving your life to Jesus is, you know, when Jesus let me love him, he made me love you. That's ultimately how it works. It's he's made me love his church, because that is an expression of himself here on earth. And but so Jesus, I want to say, I'm not a person that hasn't had issues with people. Okay, I'm sure Estian, I'm sure, you know, Dimitri and Cara, I'm sure you guys know, if you've been in ministry long enough, you're going to have moments where there's going to be conflict. There's going to be moments where there's going to be grief. There's going to be moments where you feel pain, especially those that are closest to you. Hey, who's been hurt by church? Who's been hurt by leaders? Estian, no one, put down your hands. Listen, if you haven't been hurt, I want to say it's just a matter of time. I know it sounds harsh, but I believe there's testings in that. You see, it's in those moments that God wants you to find who you are in him and to draw into him and to find his love for you. Because people are people, and they will let you down. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all, you know, but there's something that has struck me, and I want to say to you, even if you're sitting here, man, you might have gone through the hardest thing with leadership and even church and disappointment. I want to say Jesus knows. He knows, and he wants to redeem you from that. If you're stuck in a place that you can't get past, if you're stuck in a place that you're constantly just going back to that same struggle, I want to say Jesus has given you authority over that thing, over that struggle. And so I want to encourage you this morning to open your hearts to Him. Not to me, not to the preacher, to Him. And because He wants to do something. You know, I was listening to a quote by, was it R.C. Sproul? He says, "When I think I'm unfairly hated, I remember I'm unfairly loved." You know? All of us have been like that, hey? But you know what? Jesus is amazing. Mic drop. Yeah, so I don't come from a place that I haven't been hurt. But I do come from a place where I've had authority to overcome that hurt. The authority to love that person past that hurt. Because knowing that they're broken, knowing that there's things in them that they need to work through. But, so going back to that, I mean, I just feel sometimes we settle for something less than the love of Christ within us. Even tolerance, hey, tolerance is kind of a word today, isn't it? If you take out there, you know, we need to be more tolerant of people's beliefs and who they are and all these things. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but if you think of it, the word tolerance in itself, it's actually not a word that's noble as we make it out to be. I mean, think of it. If Dimitri had to ask me, Benny, and they made a lovely supper last night, but if Dimitri came to me and says, you know, how did you find the food? And I said, well, I could tolerate it. Sure, his girls were going to be offended, and Karen's going to be offended with, and Dimitri, because he also cooked. I probably won't be invited again to you. Dimitri asked me, how's Esther? And I said, I can tolerate him. You don't see that as a positive. Does it come in any shape or form as a positive? No, it doesn't. And yet the world is pushing this thing like that is the noble cause, to be tolerant. We're not called to be tolerant, church, but we are called to be loving. See, loving goes beyond tolerance. And the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes in church, people are going to come to you and you're just going to say, well, you know, because 1 John 4:20 says, you know, that thing is, anyone who says, I love God but hates his brother is a liar. And you might say, well, Benny, I'm not a liar. I love God, but when it comes to Estian, when I see him coming down the aisle at Checkers, I go the other way. Or I just kind of give that person a cold shoulder. I say, that's not love. It's not love. Because Jesus said, we're called to love as I've loved you. And that's where I want to go today. So going back to John 13, 35, are you his disciples? Because you're going to love like that if you are. You know, sometimes we hide behind church when it comes to love. We can hide behind ministries. We can hide behind giftings. We can hide behind all those things that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. He says, but if you do all of those things, great, but actually it's nothing. You know, he talks, it profits you nothing outside of love. And so Jesus says to you, I'm going to give you a new command. Now, I want to go there quickly. Can I quickly go there? Jesus says to us, I'm going to give you a new command. And the command, if you go back in Leviticus 19, and I was reading this, it says, but you shall love the Lord your God as your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want to ask the question, is this a new command that Jesus gives us? No. On the surface, it might not look like that. You might think, well, Jesus, were you wrong? I mean, come on, go back to Leviticus. In fact, Jesus actually requotes Leviticus. If you go to Mark 12, verses 30, when the scribe comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what's the greatest thing I need to do? And Jesus says to him, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first command. And the second is like this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other command greater than these. So from the surface, you might think, well, Jesus coming and saying, a new command I'm giving you. Well, is it really? Well, I want to go there quickly. So if we bring those two scriptures hand in hand together, Leviticus 19, 18, and the new command that Jesus gives us in John 13, 34. So Leviticus says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that you will love one another as I have loved you. Now, what's the difference? Now, I want to say this is the difference. I want to teach you a little bit of English. I didn't do well in English. If I can get this, you guys can get this. Okay? But the word as is what we call a preposition, right? Preposition shows the position of where your love is. Okay? So in the Old Testament, Jesus said, well, the Leviticus says that you love your neighbor as yourself. So the position of your love was based on your love for yourself, right? Where Jesus gives a new command, and the preposition of your love is not based on yourself, it's based on his love for us. It's based on him. And so you understand why Jesus says, I'm giving you a new command. Because the old command, you could only actually love to a degree. And the degree that you could love was according to yourself. Okay, so I'm just helping you here to understand that. The one is rooted in you and the other one is rooted in him, right? And as I was reading this, I just realized, you know, this is the thing of the new covenant. And I've even heard people quote and actually said this. I think I might have at one time preached this, well, said this in my preach, was, you know, you can't love others until you love yourself. Have you heard that saying? I want to challenge you, if that is your thought, and the way God challenged me on that, is because if that is true, if that's the statement when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, where is the emphasis of the command? Is it in you loving yourself, or is it in loving others? Loving others, right. The emphasis is, I want you to love others. The command is there. It's not as you love yourself. He's saying, so what is Jesus saying? He's saying, look, I want you to love others with the understanding of how you're already loving yourself. Okay, so it's something you're already doing. Now, who got changed this morning? Who had a shower? Who put deodorant on? Who put makeup on? Who put all this on yourself? Who goes, takes themselves on lovely holidays to spas and Montague and places like that? Why? Because there is a sense of which we do all take care of ourselves. We do nurture ourselves. We do make sure that we are okay. And so the emphasis of that command is not that you love yourself. That's a false teaching. Jesus is not commanding you to love yourself. He's saying you already do. But the degree that you love yourself, I want you to love others. And if you still don't believe me, then you're going to have a problem when it comes to Paul warning Timothy in the last days, when he says in 2 Timothy 3, people in the last days will be lovers of themselves. And then he'll talk about how that looks, the outworking of loving yourself. They'll be proud, they'll be arrogant, they'll be doing all these things. So I want to say, don't be fooled. To me, if I've been in the life of the church, well, an eldership for probably about 25 years, hello? And one of the things I've realized, the opposite of love is not hate. You know what it is? Self-love. Really, I've learned that in church. It's self-love. When we're consumed with ourselves, it's worse than hate. God's calling us to love each other. In fact, the scripture says, love one another, esteem one another more than yourselves. Be more conscious of others than you. That's what God's calling us to. It's quite a high standard, isn't it, church? But that's the call. That's what defines. He said, by all will know that you're my disciples, that you love like that. I mean, we can love like the world loves. They're going to come in here and they're not going to see any difference. But he's saying, no, this kind of love, man, is based on me. It's not based on the world's standard. It's not based on you. It's based on me. So Jesus is calling us to love like that. Cool. I don't know how long I've got. I'm going to try and do this quickly, get through this, but there's just some important points that I really feel is important for us to chew on and to even meditate as we leave here. You know, yeah, Romans 3, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son. You know, one of the things, the reasons that Jesus could give this new command, he's saying, look at me. We're saying, God, I want to see you. But Jesus is saying, look at me, see me, because when you see me, you're going to be able to love like this. And as you love like this, I'm giving you a new command to love like this. And Think of it, the Old Testament guys couldn't love this way. Did you ever think of that? That's why Jesus never, that's why the new commandment didn't happen then. It could only happen now to us. What a privilege. We can live in this and they couldn't. Why? Well, 1 John 4:19 says, in this, love of God was made manifest towards us. Okay, that's us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God's saying, look, I want you to live this expression of love because you know me now. And you're going to be an example to represent me well, to be my bride that I've called you to be. And we couldn't do that before. It was only, and I want to say to you, if you've never met Jesus, I want to say today is the day that he wants to meet you. This beautiful song that came out is Open the Veil. He's tore that veil, that very thing that separates us from knowing him. He's calling us to that place of knowing him. And today is the day he wants to break that veil. He wants to meet with us. That's his heart. You know, Philippians 2 verses 1 to 8 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort in love, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord to one another. And so I want to, even today, I want to throw out this message to every single one of you. I know you might be in church for a long time, but you know there is a thing that our love can even grow cold. The Bible warns us in Revelation. And Jesus said, if you know, we need to be a people that are constantly keeping that lampstand, that fire going in our hearts, because he'll come and remove that lampstand if we don't. And it's all based on your love for him. And I want to challenge you as a church today, if there is things in your heart towards even the slightest thing, that a niggle that you have towards people in the church and even outside, to go make right with the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that we're ministers of reconciliation. That's our heart, is to reconcile, not only to the Lord, but to one another. And I want to challenge you. I mean, that's partly, you know, I'm so grateful that God instituted this beautiful thing called communion. And I've just been even challenged in my own heart with us as a church, because I don't think we take it as regularly as we should. And I know we say, oh, you know, we should do it as remembrance. And I understand, I get that it can become a ritualistic thing. But I think the importance of its regularity is because, I don't know if you guys find that, but when you take of the cup and break the bread, you know, Paul warns us that we don't take this in an unworthy manner. He warns us that, man, how's your relationship with each other? So in a sense, these communion moments brings our hearts and our minds in check with the Lord. Because if you do it in an unworthy manner, it says you cause judgment on yourself. You cause, you know, even that heaviness of God's wrath. Paul even says some have died because of this. Quite hectic, huh? And so, you know, our hearts is that we want to live in the wholeness, God, you know, as a church, that we whole, that we, and so communion is important. And I want to challenge you, even here, if you're sitting here today, go make right with your brother. Go make right with the person that's offended you or hurt you. Even if you say, oh, you know what, I can deal with it some other. I want to say, don't fall into those lies. Go and deal with it. The Bible says, keep short accounts with one another. And just in line with that, I'm going to just one more thing, and I just felt this now as I'm sharing. Sometimes we forget that a little bit of unforgiveness goes unnoticed. And when I was still in Mossel Bay, there was, I don't know why this always works out like this, but I think it was the worship leader and the sound guy. They had issues with one another. This doesn't happen here, am I right? But anyway, I remember in Mossel Bay, I got there and I was eldering there, and I came to this. They were busy doing worship, but I could sense just something, you know, we're praising you, Lord, but I can see their hearts are totally somewhere else, and it's like there's issues, you know. And so I called them in. I said, listen, guys, we need to go and sit in the office. And but on my way, I was traveling from Donna Bay, which is about 10 kilometers to Mossel Bay. On my way, I go, I don't know if you guys get these speed cops that have got that camera that looks at your number plates, and they're very quick and efficient, and they give you your all your fines that you've done over the last 10 years. And I have a confession to make. There were some I didn't know I didn't cover, and so there were quite a few. And so the sum that came to me was quite a large amount of money. And I remember looking and thinking, how could this be? You know, I don't remember this and this and this. It was like 5,000-6,000 rands worth of fine. I know, I'm feeling that condemnation. It's okay. But anyway, I was driving on my way to church, and I get there, and the atmosphere of this negativity between the worship leader and the sound guy, and I go in there, and I'm listening to them, and they're angry with each other. But I know this is not just one event. This has been a couple of things that they've had issues with. And I had this piece of paper with a fine, and I just threw it on the table. I said, you know what, guys? What you guys are doing is what happened to me here now. I said, I missed one account, that one fine that came through. And then another fine came through. And then another fine came. And I started ignoring some of them. But now it's built up, and I've got to pay a huge amount of money. And I said, you guys have done the same thing with your relationship. The Bible says keep short accounts with one another. You see, there's going to come a moment where you think you've let that person off the hook. You think, okay, I've worked it out, I've forgiven, but you actually haven't dealt with it. And I want to say that thing builds up and it builds up. And I want to say today is the day you settle that account. And I'm only saying this in a command voice, because it's a command that Jesus has given you, because he's given you that authority to do that. I'm not giving you that authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given me, therefore. And I want to say the same for you. Let's live to represent him well as the church that he's called us to. There's no excuses anymore, church, that we don't reflect him. Amen. Cool. Do you want me to share something? Do you want me to?
Good, eh? Yeah, thanks, Benny. Yeah, just want to add to that. So a few weeks ago, I went to one of our comm groups because there was also a bit of tension there, and we had to sort stuff out. And one of the things that I said was, you know, it's all good and well to speak about unity and to speak about loving one another, but that actually only gets tested when there's a bit of tension, right? And when you have to forgive people. So this all becomes very real if you want to do it seriously. And the other thing is, just want to remind us of the prophetic word that was spoken over us about a month ago, about God taking each one of us on a journey of confrontation. And just want to remind you, it speaks about how God is taking us through this valley, and we're on a journey of confrontation. So he's going to confront things in our lives that doesn't look like him. And his desire is that every single one of us will come through the valley into the promised land, right? Into what he has for us. But that journey of confrontation is with God. He is going to show us stuff in our lives that doesn't look like him, but it's also going to be with each other, right? God's also going to confront things in our relationship with one another that we're going to have to sort out, and where we're going to have to forgive, and where we're going to have to go speak to someone, because we can only really love one another, we can only really live in unity if we live like that. And that is what makes church and the people of God different than the world. It's going, where the world goes, you've offended me, so I'm not going to speak to you. We go, you've offended me, but I still love you, and I still want a relationship with you. So I really want to encourage us, as God takes us on this journey of confrontation, if there's, like he said, if there's anything in your heart towards someone, if there's anything that you need to sort out, do it, because that's the way that God brings unity. It's all good and well to speak about unity, but unity gets tested in these times. Make sense? Can you just pray for us as a congregation? Cool. Lekker.
So let's maybe just bow our hearts at this moment, and maybe just reflect if there's areas in your life that you've just held against someone, or just been hurt by someone. Just come before the Lord right now. Father, I want to pray for every person here. Lord, we know that every circumstances, every person that comes in our lives, there is potential for conflict, there's potential for hurt, there's potential for pain. But Lord, I want to pray that even in that, there'll be such an awareness of you, such an awareness of your love, of your mercy, of what you did on that cross, Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for that revelation of you, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't wait for us to get straightened out, to sort ourselves out, to recognize our sinfulness. You died for us before that. And Father, it was your kindness that led us to repentance. And Lord, I want to pray even this morning as we just see you, Jesus, that we'd have your heart. That scripture that came today, I believe, was so prophetic. That you're saying you've taken the heart of stone and you've replaced it with the heart of flesh. And this is a true representation of your new covenant. And Jesus, you're calling us to live in this new covenant. And so, Lord, I pray for every person that's outside of that covenant that might hate his brother, that they'd recognize that they're a liar when they say, I love you. Jesus, come and restore that heart of stone. Come and bring life into it. Come and beat into it again, Jesus, that we might represent you, that we might be the church without spot or wrinkle, that we can forgive one another 70 times 7. Lord, it's a constant thing on the same sin, but Lord, we're willing to do it because we understand something of your love and the command that you've given us to love each other. And so just thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for this church. I pray, Lord, that your blessings would be on here, on this group of people that just love you passionately, Jesus, that your word says that when your brethren dwell together, you command life and blessings forevermore. And so, Father, I just pray that as they do come together in unity and true unity of loving you and loving each other, you will command your blessings and life on them as a people. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.